Your presence is a good encouragement to me. I'd like to thank the elders for the opportunity to speak with you. If my nerves get too bad and I start speeding up, wave at me and I'll try to slow down because I don't talk in front of people very often, so just bear with me and we'll get through this. I entitled this Psalms 23. It could be that favorite verses in that I have several of those, but we're going to spend most of our time in Psalms 23. And when I think about the Bible, that certain words come to mind, and that comfort, peace, rest, encouragement, salvation, guidance, hope, faith, blessings, love, and support. You may have others. These are some that come to my mind with that. And when I think about the Bible, I have favorite verses in that. And some of mine are, and probably my favorite verse is here in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And if you've gotten an email from me from my personal Outlook account, that's actually at the bottom of it in my signature line with that. That's probably my favorite Bible verse. But also Mark 16:16 says, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, but whoever does not believe shall be condemned. I guess I ought to say, too, that all of these verses are the English Standard Version, if you're following along in your Bible with that. I also like John 3:16, and we see this everywhere, ball games, and, you know, it's on TV and all of that, but it's 16 and 17 in that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Another one is Matthew 11:28-29. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. And of course, Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overfloweth. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you look at this psalm, you know, it's just six verses. There are some key thoughts that I think come out of this, and that is comfort, God's greatness, our dependence of God, friendship, safety, relationship. And as we explore these in detail, hopefully you come to that same conclusions. I find that this psalm, even though it's just six verses, there's so much meaning and encouragement in that. So let's get started here. The first one is, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I grew up in the city. I know nothing about farming, farm animals, or anything. Unlike Gerald last week with the pigs, I don't know it. Okay? So I had to look up what a shepherd is. I mean, I know we see him on TV and you read books about shepherds, but what is a shepherd, right, and his duties? And his duties are just to keep the flock, to protect the flock, to guide the flock, and to manage the health of the flock. And that, and the writer uses the term my shepherd. So this refers to that we have a relationship. And we find in John, the 10th chapter, 14 and 15, that we have here, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for my sheep. And later on in that same there, in John, the 10th chapter, we have, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Again, as we talk here, that I think that this is talking about a relationship, that we have a relationship with God. And that, so I think the key thing here in this first part is relationship. Shall not want. And I think that this is that God will supply our needs. And that, and we find in Matthew, the 6th chapter, 25 through 33, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grasses of the fields, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need these all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And we also have in Philippians 4 and the 19th verse, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in the glory of Christ Jesus. So when we look at the first verse here, that it talks about we having a relationship with God and that he will supply our needs. So as we move on into verse 2, he makes me lay down in green pastures. And I think this is God will provide us rest and that for those that follow him. So in Matthew, the 11th chapter, 28 and 29, come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon you and learn from me, and I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. As we continue there, he says, he leads me by still water. I think this is peace and calm. And that, and a shepherd, if you look at a shepherd in the research I did, they wouldn't want their sheep or the flock near swift water or fast-moving water because they could wander off and be swept away and put the flock in danger. So I'm a little behind here. So John 14:27 says, the peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let them be afraid. So verse 2 tells us about that we'll have rest in God, and that we'll have peace and calm with him. So as we move to verse 3, he restores my soul. And I think that this, when looking at it, is that it's healing. And in James, the 5th chapter, 14 through 15. Is there anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sin, he will be forgiven. And as we continue, he leads me in the path of righteousness. And I think this is guide. And that, and when you look at the Bible, I guess I would say it's a guidebook, right? Or you might even call it a how-to manual of how to get to heaven. Or you might even think that it's a great battle scene, right? And in the end, spoiler, God wins. So I mean, as you go through it, I think he provides guidance, and that, and in John, the 14th chapter in 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Okay. for his name's sake. And I think this is purpose. And that. And in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives, and for the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. So in verse 3, we see that God provides healing for our soul. He provides us with guidance, and we have purpose in his service. Okay, so as we move to 4, verse 4 here, the first part of that, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, when I look at this and there, I think this is about testing. I think that we're going to be tested. And that, but I think that the scriptures tell us, if we go to 1 Corinthians 10:13, that no temptation has overtaken us that's not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And James also tells us, James 1:2-4, count it all joy, my brother, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Okay, I will fear no evil. I think this is protection in that. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And John 10:27-28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will not perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands. For you are with me, and I think this is faithfulness. And that. And Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. And then also in John 10:27-29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will not perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands. My Father, who gave them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. So as we move here to this, it says, the rod and the staff comfort me. And I think this is discipline. And that, and in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, 10 and 11, for they discipline us for a short time as it seems best for them, but he disciplines us for our own good, that we might share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So in verse 4, as we go through this, that our faith is going to be tested. But the test will not be more than we can handle. And that we have protection in Christ Jesus, and we may be disciplined, but overall, it's for our own good. So as we go to 5, and we're almost done here, so you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I think this is hope. And that, in Romans 5:2-5, through him, we have obtained access to faith in the grace in which we have stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You anoint my head. I appeal to you, therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Okay. My cup overfloweth, and I think this is abundance. And in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. John 10:10, the thief comes that only to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that you may have life and have it abundantly. So in verse 5, we have hope in God. We have to present our body as a living sacrifice, and we will have life in abundance. So in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I think this is blessings. And in Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and the glory in Christ. And then James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, and who has no variation or shadows due to change. So in the final verse is talking about the blessings that we have in God. And as we reviewed before, that Christ says here, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will not perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands. And some of the key words and meaning that we talked about, too, is relationship, supply, rest, peace, calm, healing, guidance, purpose, testing, protection, faithfulness, discipline, hope, dedication, abundance, and blessings. As you can see, this psalm is just 6 short verses, but it's packed with meaning into these verses. And I think the key to everything that we've talked about is that you need to have a relationship with God the Father. And we have a mediator in Christ Jesus. We are told in 1 Timothy 2:5-6, there is one God, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given in the proper time. And that, and Christ gave his disciples what we call the Great Commission, and that's Mark 16:15-16. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So we extend this to you today, that if you haven't started your journey with Christ, we invite you to come and do that. If you started your journey and you've wandered from the path for some reason, we invite you to make yourself right with God. We'll help you in any way the Bible will allow. We ask you if you come forward while we stand and sing.
Oh, heart, God,